Welcome to the More Than Fitness Podcast.
Hello, hello, everyone, and welcome back to another solo episode of the More Than Fitness Podcast. Today's episode is going to be my 2020 retrospective. I did a retrospective back in 2019, which I will link in the show notes, but just to jump right into things and to give you a little bit of a background on what a retrospective is, or at least what this retrospective will entail. It is when you look back on past events to identify what worked and what didn't work. A retrospective helps you celebrate your wins and identify your weaknesses. It helps you learn from the past and correct for the future. I got this idea first from my friend and mentor, Nate Green, who I am actually very, very excited to tell you guys that I got him for the 100th episode. So he is coming up very soon. I know I've mentioned him quite a few times. Some of you may know him, others may not. But one thing's for sure, if you've listened to my stuff for a while or read through some of my stuff, you're going to know that I mentioned Nate's name quite a few times. And I just really look up to him in quite a few different ways. So I'm stoked that he decided to say yes to be my 100th podcast guest. So that is coming up very soon. I'm not sure what episode this is actually, but the 100th one is coming up. But yeah, so he was the inspiration behind these retrospectives. And I think it's just a good idea to do, honestly. And how to do your own personal retrospective is you simply pick a particular project or time period and ask yourself the following question. Question one is, what's working? So what did I do right? What am I proud of? The second question that you ask yourself is, what's not working? So what could be improved? What are my biggest opportunities for growth? And question three, how can I fix what's not working for a better result? So what specific things can I focus on next time? Then you spend 15 to 30 minutes writing about each of those. And so that's exactly what I did for the 2020 year. And don't worry, this isn't going to be a bunch of stuff that I'm just going to be writing like or speaking to you guys like a dear diary or anything like that. What I did was I picked out several things, but then I made it applicable to you guys so that you could get some value out of it. And I'm just not rambling on about what I did or didn't do throughout the year. So let's go ahead. And real quick, I need to just pat myself on the back here. There is no liquor involved in the solo podcast. So if I stutter, if I slur my words, that is completely 100% sober Matt. And I will take the full blame instead of the alcohol. So let's go ahead and get into it. Question number one, what's working? So what did I do right in 2020 and what am I proud of? The first one, which may be obvious for some of you guys, I moved to New York City, right? So there's a pandemic going on, tons of shit going on in 2020, right? And I guess that should probably be a disclaimer here as well. I think that there should be a big asterisk next to anybody who does a personal review of 2020 or does one of these retrospectives. Obviously, you know, results may vary depending on whatever happened to you, but again, going to try and provide you guys some value here. So yeah, the first thing that's what's working, I moved to New York City. And for me, this was probably the most adult thing that I've ever done in my, well, what's funny is I'm recording this on December 27th and my birthday is tomorrow, December 28th. So I will be turning 27 tomorrow. So in my 27 years of life, this moving to New York City is by far probably the most adult thing that I have done. I was born and raised in Kentucky, right? In a 20,000 person small town. And then I moved to Lexington, Kentucky for college to go to university. And they have about 300,000 people. But then I've been in those two places my entire life as far as cities go. And then I decided to get out of my comfort zone and move to New York City with my girlfriend because she goes to law school there. She was already in New York City. And so I just moved in and we now have a place together. And yeah, it's definitely pushing out of my comfort zone because I was first very reluctant to even do it. I didn't want to get out of my comfort zone. I was very happy with all my friends and family being local in Kentucky. Rent is definitely going to be cheaper. Just the types of people that I was around, I'm used to driving culture-wise, et cetera, et cetera. Again, I'm not going to talk about this too much because if anybody's listened to this, multiple of my episodes, you know what I'm about to say, basically. But one thing that I haven't touched on is how I do pride myself on my internal locus of control, right? So just making sure that no matter what my environment is, I am okay, right? I really pride myself on my ability to thrive no matter what the conditions are. And so I think that that's very easy to say whenever conditions are ideal, right? I'm living in Kentucky. I haven't been thrown out of my comfort zone, right? Because I've been around all my family and friends. My business is online, so that doesn't get affected much either way. But as far as doing something like this, I haven't really put that internal locus of control to the test. And I think that moving to New York City was my big test. This is the ultimate test of really proving myself. And I think so I moved there in August. So I've been there for about 6 months or so. I'm doing okay. I'm enjoying myself. Actually, I'm really adapting to the city life. I really enjoy seeing the different types of people and the different cultures. And obviously there's much more diversity going on in New York City than Kentucky. I enjoy walking more. I enjoy going to the grocery store, walking to the grocery store, getting my groceries maybe a couple times a week instead of just going there once per week and driving there like I would in Kentucky. It just really reminded me actually of a whenever I was talking about this, it reminded me of a story that I wanted to bring up from a guy by the name of Josh Waitzkin. And for anybody who doesn't know, Josh Waitzkin was like a chess prodigy. He was a national champ. He wrote a book called The Art of Learning. He was a black belt in jiu-jitsu. He's been on Tim Ferriss and a few of these other big podcasts. He's just a super smart guy. But one of the things that he talks about with regards to locus of control is how he likes to parent his children. And one of the examples of this is parents' language around the weather outside, right? So it's bad weather, we can't go outside, right? Or it's good weather, we can go outside. You say these things to a child over and over again, they see rainy days or stormy days as more of like a negative thing. And then they see good weather, they see sunny weather as more of a positive thing. So they can do this whenever the conditions are like this, or they can't do this whenever the conditions are like this. So this is just a really good, easy example of teaching your child an internal locus of control by saying, it's a beautiful rainy day outside, right? And I thought that was just, it's just a really good example of how one, of course, you can use this with children, but I think it's also a good example of just teaching the idea of internal locus of control and making sure that you aren't letting your surroundings and your environment dictate your mood, your well-being, how you act, how you respond to things. And I think that that's just whenever I first heard that, and he talks about how his son will now look outside on a rainy day and say, look, Dad, it's such a beautiful stormy day outside. And I think that's really cool. And so for me, I was thinking that New York City would just be that rainy day. You know, I was thinking in my head whenever I first had the idea that I was actually going to have to move there if I wanted to stay with my girlfriend, right? I could have done long distance, but I didn't want to do that shit. So I was like, okay, I am going to move there. And at first I was reluctant, but then I wanted to stay open-minded. I went there. I've been there now for 6 months, and it's absolutely changed how I look at the world and how I see different people living and the possibility and potentials of ways you can live whenever you get out of your comfort zone. And it's just, I think that we can be so reluctant to do that. And New York City was a way of kind of really forcing me out of that comfort zone. So that's something I really am proud of. And not to mention, I get to live with my girlfriend in New York City. People can say what they want about the place, but it's absolutely so many people's dream to be able to live in that city, and I get the opportunity to do so. So I think that that's, I have to recognize how, whatever you want to call it, blessed I am to be able to live there with my girlfriend and to experience that together. So I think that's special. All right, the next thing that I think went well during 2020 was this podcast, the More Than Fitness podcast, and all of you guys listening. We have done pretty good, honestly. I'm just comparing it to I feel like how it was whenever we first started out. And I don't pay a lot of attention to the numbers and things, and I'm not going to share the numbers on here or anything like that, because I don't think it really matters. But what I think matters is I know that we are progressing due to people talking about how much the podcast has impacted them, right? Or I get messages here and there. I see the rate and reviews going up. I see coaching applications that come in and say they love my podcast. I get emails of people saying they love the podcast. And I'm like, that's so incredible, because I'm still here by myself talking to a microphone. And as weird as it may seem, I know that I am having an impact on a few of you. And I think that that's really cool. It's a really cool feeling, especially because I enjoy doing this. And clearly, a few of you guys enjoy listening to me. So I think that that's pretty cool. And I can't thank you guys enough. But I think one of the things that the podcast has done, and that I would recommend you guys to do, you could start your own podcast, but I think even just, I'm trying to put this in perspective. If you didn't have a career or job or something that required, some type of self-promotion or something, even just, you know what's interesting? Even just recording yourself in conversations, clicking the record button while you're speaking, and then putting your phone down and then listening back to those conversations later on. And I've realized of certain tics in things that I do. My girlfriend actually recently got pissed at me because I pointed out to her, because now I'm more susceptible to hearing things like or or so, or like mine is right. I say right, or I say so, or I say, that's another one. These little filler words, all these little things that kind of dilute our message and dilute the way that we speak. We don't even realize these tics that we have until someone else points them out. And I pointed out to my girlfriend, because she really was asking for feedback, and I say, you do say like often. And now every time she's talking to me, she'll start speaking sentences and then she'll go like, I know. And she just kind of catches herself, because you become more self-aware of your speaking. And I think whenever you're more self-aware of your speaking, you're thinking harder about what you're saying. Whenever you're thinking harder about what you're saying, you're going to articulate your ideas and communicate better. You're going to become a more effective communicator. And I think what also happens is I also become my own role model in some ways with this podcast, which sounds weird and slightly narcissistic now that I think about it. But what I'm saying is that whenever I talked to you guys, I now, and I tell you guys about these ideas or principles or whatever it is that I'm whatever advice it is that I'm giving to you guys, I have to follow through on these things myself, or else I'm a hypocrite or I'm a fraud or whatever. And this doesn't even come down to people finding out that I don't do those things. This is my own conscience, right? Like this is my own conscience. Like I'm thinking to myself, like, you talk about X, Y, and Z on your podcast day in and day out, and then you do this instead, right? So it's like my own little bullshit detector in my own head. And I think that even if you don't start your own podcast or something, I think it can be helpful. I think another thing that would make sense that isn't necessarily speaking related, at least actually verbally, would be something like journaling, right? I think that that's something that could be super easy for every single person that's listening to this to do. And whatever form or fashion that is to you, however you want to journal, if you want to buy one of the fancy fucking, you know, whatever, 5-minute journals or self journals, or, you know, if you want to get really high tech about it or something, that's great. I mean, if that's what gets you to actually do it, then that's awesome. Like, continue to do that, because the practice is what is important. But for me, I just use typically like some type of what's it called? It's like a text pad type thing, but it's just it's not even the notes app. It's not any type of app at all. Actually, it's plain text. Sorry, that's the word. It's just plain text, and all I do is I put the date, I put the time, and then I just let my mind go, right? I just start putting words on the page without judgment. And I think that that's what you have to keep in mind, is that this isn't for anybody except for you. And this isn't something that I do daily. So I don't even want to act like it is something I do daily. This is simply whenever the idea comes into my mind is like, oh, I haven't journaled in a while, or there's a lot going on in my head. I'm like, okay, I'm going to pull this out. I'm just going to start typing, because I feel like either something has happened in my life that I think is worth documenting, that I'll be excited about looking back on in the future, or maybe something really bad that's gone on, because I think that both of those are important. You don't want just a highlight reel going through that. And you also don't just want negative things, right? Whenever things are going really bad, you don't want to just journal about those too. I think it's just whenever you get that, or as soon as the urge comes in my mind of like, maybe I should journal right now, that's whenever I'm like, okay, I know I should do this. So then I pull it out, and it could be two sentences, right? But there's no boundaries, there's no structure, there's no guidelines. It's literally date, time, and then what's on my mind, and then that's it. I think that, to get back to my point, podcasting and having this podcast has made me become a better thinker, a better communicator, a better speaker, and just more self-aware of my own ideals. And I think that that's pretty cool. And not to mention, it's also connected me with tons of really cool people that I look up to a lot, right? I think that that's another thing that is missing from a lot of people's life, is just reaching out to people they look up to. And luckily with a podcast, you can use it as an excuse to have them come on. And then hopefully also, you can have people come on, and then you can have that conversation with them, and then also share it with your audience. So I think that that's really cool. But this could even be sending an email to somebody you really look up to, or sending a DM or something, or some type of expert, right? I think that that's something missing in quite a few people's life that I think could make a massive impact if they ask a really good specific question that this specific person may have an answer for. So that's something I would recommend. Okay, and lastly, the last thing that I am proud of, the last thing that I think is working, or that did work in 2020, was that it was a year of thinking, strategizing, and divorcing time and money, right? So what I did throughout 2020 was I didn't do tons of reps, right? So in the past, what I've done is I've set up a whiteboard as far as content goes, and I was like, I want to put out these 5 pieces of content every day or every week. For example, I want to post here, I want to post here, I want to post here. And then it's just checking off the boxes. It's just putting in those reps over and over and over. It's basically like messy action. That's kind of the way I like to think about it. It's like there's not too much strategizing going on. It's just doing. And I think that there are periods of time that that is absolutely helpful, especially in the beginning of things, whenever you're just getting started with stuff, because you don't have the appropriate filters and specific knowledge yet to know what's right or wrong or what you want or not, right? So I think that 2020 for me was a year where I did less of that messy action, and it was a lot more thinking. I was thinking about what I really wanted, what I wanted to do with my time on a day-to-day basis, how I wanted to make money, and that's kind of what I did. Actually, it was very interesting. I was looking at some of my sales and stuff on PayPal and things, and I realized that I made close to about the same amount of money as I did last year. Full disclosure here, I actually didn't make as much money as I did last year, and I'm completely okay with that because my number of transactions went down 41%. Right. So I made very close to the same amount of money as I did last year, but my number of transactions went down by almost half. Right. So what that means to me, and it shows me that I accomplished exactly what I was trying to do whenever I say divorcing time and money. Right. Because if I can reduce the amount of transactions, you guys have to remember. So I'm in the client service business. So my number of transactions throughout the year, I want them to be, I don't want to be working with 100 people for $100 a month, right? Instead, I would rather work with 30 people for $300 a month, right? And so that's the way that you can somewhat divorce your time and money. I also made a product, automated fitness, right? That did fairly well. And as soon as I make automated fitness, like my time with that, besides promoting it, is basically none, right? Like I don't have to consistently make that same product over and over and over again. So that's a simple way of divorcing my time and money. And this is just a way of working smarter and not harder. And so I think how this relates to you guys is you can think about what problems are you consistently having on a regular basis, and how can you outsource that to someone else, to an expert or whatever, or how could you automate that? And so a few examples of this, so you take fitness, for example, right? You consistently, you've been having the same problem with fitness for months or for years. You've been trying shit over and over again, but now just the mental fatigue and the other shit that you have to worry about in your life, it's just not worth the continual effort and headaches that you're getting from doing it on your own. So then it's like, it makes sense to outsource that to a coach, let the coach teach you for 3 to 6+ months, learn from them, extract their knowledge, build proper routines, habits, mental frameworks, whatever you want to call it, so that you can be prepared to continue doing it once you guys stop together, if you work with a good coach, right? So just say you work with myself, right? The whole point of you hiring me as a coach is for me to teach you so that you don't need me forever, right? Like that's one of the whole goals, is like, that's the epitome of a good coach, is whenever their student doesn't need the coach anymore, right? Like that's how it should be. So thinking about things that you can outsource. So that's just one of the things. You could also think about like this with relationships or dating. You could have a relationship coach, right? Some people end up doing that. You could have a money coach, right? And this is, you can also, whenever I say outsource, this could be other services or things, right? This could be some type of meal prep service. Maybe you don't want to make your meals on a regular basis. So this is a form of outsourcing and automating. That way you outsource your meals. So for me and my girlfriend, something we also did was we started getting HelloFresh this year. And I think we typically get 3 or 4 meals dinners delivered to our apartment every single week. And then now we have dinner figured out for at least 4 out of the next 7 days. Right. And so that's a way of outsourcing and automating that. I know, I understand that that costs money, but in the short term, you might think like, oh, this is, I don't want to give up my money for these things. But what it's doing is it's buying you back time. It's buying you back mental fatigue, right? It's buying you back headaches. There's so much things other than just like thinking about it, of this money out of your pocket for X, Y, and Z. It's like, no, that money's going out of your pocket so that you can relax with your kids in the evening, or that so that you can give your full attention to your significant other whenever you're done with work, and you don't have to bicker back and forth about who's going to make dinner, right? I think that that's something that needs to be thought about as well. And whenever it comes to other things that you could automate, so automating like savings, you have money issues or something like that, it's like, figure out how to automate your savings so that you pay yourself first with every single paycheck. Don't even let that money hit your checking account. Like, automatically send it to some type of savings account so that you do pay yourself first before you spend that money on whatever bullshit it is that you're buying on a regular basis that you know you shouldn't, right? So make that right choice the easy choice by automating it. I think another way with this is buying books, right? Buying books on money. This is where I learned some of that stuff. So I Will Teach You to Be Rich by Ramit Sethi. Ignore the title. The information is phenomenal. Ramit is a smart dude. That's one thing that I would highly recommend doing. So yeah, outsourcing could mean not just to a service or to another person, but it could be buying a course or product or book from somebody else who is an expert in the field that is dealing with a specific problem that you keep consistently having over time, right? So that's what I would recommend for you guys to do. And I think that it was such a dominant factor in my happiness in 2020 is because I think it might've been partially from the pandemic. I just wanted to make sure that I wasn't just, it's like, what's the saying, to someone who's a hammer, any problem can look like a nail or something like that. It's just like, That's kind of what I'm saying. I don't want to just keep working as hard as possible in a certain direction whenever that certain direction may not be the right place that I want to go to in the first place. It's like, first you have to identify the real problem, right? And so I think that that's what I had to do. And that takes a lot of thinking and rest and recovery, and not just consistently banging my head against the wall, working harder, grinding harder, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I think there are years for that, which I will get to in a moment. But this year was the year of thinking and strategizing and divorcing time and money. And I am very happy about that. All right, let's move on to question two. Let's see, how are we doing on time? 28 minutes. Yeah, we're good. Because these next two questions, there's only 3 questions. This will go by fairly quickly. Let me grab a drink of water. But real quick, question two, what's not working in 2020? So what could be improved? What are my biggest opportunities for growth? And how I split this up was between business, relationships, and fitness, actually. So 1 second, I'm going to get a sip. Okay, let's get into this. So like I was saying, 2020 was a year of thinking and strategizing, but 2021 is now a time to put in the work again, to be 100% honest. It's 2020, like I said, was a year for realigning. And now that I have realigned, I think now it's simply time to put in the work until it's time to realign again. I think that that's what's super helpful. And that's why I think these retrospectives can be so helpful, is because it allows me to kind of realign and reflect on what things have happened in the past, and so that I don't repeat them in the future. And so every, 3, 6, 12 months, it's important to realign to make sure that whatever has gone on, you can you can adjust for that, you can adapt to that, and you can make sure it doesn't happen again in the future. And you're also in a better place by the end of next year. And so for my business, yeah, like I said, I think that what was lacking in 2020 was those reps. I think that I wasn't actually selling a ton. I wasn't putting out tons of content. I was still putting out content, but it was more so I was at a, you know, I was maybe at like a 6 out of 10 on the amount of work that I could put in on a regular basis. And I really want to crank that dial up to more of an 8, 9, or 10 over this next year. And how I'll do that, I will explain in the next question. But yeah, as far as what's not working, I think for business, now it's time for me to just really do the work, to put it very simply. I think that again, there's time and place for the strategizing, but then you've got to do the shit, right? You've got to do the work. And the next is relationships. So for this one, don't worry, I'm not going to go on any big soapbox or anything like that, or divulge tons of details about my relationship. But for me, I think one of the things that I have struggled with whenever it comes to a relationship, my relationship with Mal, so with my girlfriend, is being fully present after work is over, because being self-employed, right, it's just kind of that the 5 o'clock cutoff doesn't really exist, right? There's always things I could be doing. And so what would happen some days is I wouldn't get all of my work done during the actual workday, right? While we're both working. And then whenever the time came for us both to shut off, work-wise at least, and spend some time together, I was still thinking through problems in my head. And I realized the days that I did this more often were the days that maybe the day didn't go as I'd planned whenever it comes to work, right? I didn't get certain priorities done that I wanted to get done. And so all I could think about after I got done with work, and then me and my girlfriend were supposed to hang out, is I was just thinking about getting that done, or the stuff that I needed to do for the next day, right? I was just working through these problems in my head. And it's even worse, and I feel even more guilty whenever it's my fault in the first place, because maybe I was dicking around for a certain part of the day. Maybe I was watching, my lunch break went over a little bit longer than I wanted, or I got caught up with certain micro procrastinations throughout the day, right? I read a tweet thread here. I watch a couple videos here. You know, I see a couple Instagram posts here. So it's all of those things kind of combined. And then by the time it comes for me and Mal to hang out, I'm just not fully there. And that's not okay, right? Like I need to, because I'm also, with my abilities to focus on things, it's not hard for me to tune her out, for example, right? Because I'm very good at being in my head and really just having tunnel vision and not thinking about whatever else is going on around me. But that can be a double-edged sword, right? That's good whenever you really have to buckle down and focus on your work, but it's bad whenever your girlfriend's trying to tell you about her day and you're thinking through some other issue. It's disrespectful. It's not fair to her. And it just comes down to me making sure that I get done what I need to get done during the workday. And then after the workday is done, I have a hard stop. I finish whenever I have a shutdown. Whenever I say I'm done, then I'm done, right? And unless I'm not around her or whatever, right? But whenever I'm done, I'm done, and I want to be 100% fully present with her. And then another part with relationships, this is just with friendships, right? And so hopefully with 2021, we're going to be able to spend some more time with friends in person. You know, this is something that I'm sure everyone is very, hopefully, hopefully optimistic about, or I know that everyone is yearning to spend some time with people in person doing things that we all know and love. So I really hope that that can be improved in 2021. All right. So that's the relationships part. The next part is fitness. Fitness was not working really for me in 2020. Again, life is about trade-offs and things, and I was completely fine with simply just coasting throughout all of 2020. But now, as the year has come to an end, and I don't know what it is. Maybe being back home as well. I haven't been working out as much. I've been eating more, which is all normal around the holidays. I just want to say there's even data about that. It's typical to go through these ebbs and flows of weight gain and things like that. But for me, it's like I had moments where I could have gone to the gym, or I could have made the better choice whenever it comes to food, and I didn't. And so for me, that's lacking on values that I hold important to me, right? I'm breaking the promises that I make to myself. And I think that's something crucial, right? It's different if I'm like, okay, it's time to relax, I'm not going to worry about it. But whenever I do care and I still break my promise, well, then there's a disconnect in my values, right? And for me, that's not okay. So I'm not saying I'm going to be competing in some other bodybuilding competition or something like that, and I'm going to go full on 100%. However, I'm going to try and find a little bit more routine and structure and regain my consistency with fitness, and try and find a little bit more of that spark and love that I once had for it. And I think that comes with progression and setting some goals and achieving those goals over time. And so I'll probably do some type of like fat loss phase whenever the new year begins, actually. And it's more so, it's not because it's necessarily the new year. It's more so because I'm not going to be, you know, super strict about my diet while I am here staying with my parents, right? Because we have dinners, we have family dinners. There's other opportunities and things to eat delicious foods that my mom has made. And I am absolutely, as far as values go, that will definitely come before fat loss. But whenever I get back in New York City with my girlfriend and we have more of our regular routine down, then I think that I'm going to have maybe a 6 to 8 week mini cut and try and back down on the bourbons and the wine and things like that, and just try and make better choices. And so maybe I'll document through that, and it'll be really helpful for you guys as well, because it'll give me a new perspective on ideas and things that I think that I can probably share with you all that would be helpful as well. So yeah, those are the three things on what was not working in 2020. So in business, it's time to put in the work. Relationships, I want to be fully present with my girlfriend. And then as far as friends go, spend more time with them in person. And then fitness, I want to regain my consistency. And then let's get into question number three, and we will wrap this up. So question three is, how can I fix what's not working for a better result? So what specific things can I focus on next time? So everything that I just talked about, what am I going to do, right? As far as action steps go. So what am I actually going to do about that business problem, that relationship problem, and the fitness problem? And that is what I hope to share with you guys here. So real quick, getting a sip of water. And I'll start this question. I had a quote again by Josh Waitzkin. This relates to the business side of things. And I think that whenever it comes to putting in the work and simply putting my head down and just putting in the reps, I think that is going to come with an immense amount of concentration, attention, effort, and very deep focus. And the quote by Waitzkin, what he says is, most people in high-stress, decision-making industries are always operating at this kind of simmering six, as opposed to the undulation between deep relaxation and being at a 10. And so Josh argues that in order to be a 10 out of 10 with focus, you have to be able to hit a 0 out of 10 via relaxation and recovery. Because if you're always at a 10 out of 10, you're going to eventually lead to burnout, and you're not going to have any ideas, and you're not going to be able to solve any problems. So that's the importance of the yin and the yang of very deep, intense focus and then relaxation and recovery. And so with my goal of putting out large amounts of high quality work, I think that one good action step for that is going to be 5 hours of deep work per workday and using a scoreboard. So what this means is, I'm not saying that I'm only working 5 hours per day, although that does often happen. And whenever I say deep work, I mean what Waitzkin is talking about here. I'm not talking about a simmering six and checking things, you know, checking Instagram in between emails or this and that. I'm talking about a 10 out of 10 focus for 5 hours per day with no distractions around my highest priority tasks, right? And whenever I say using a scoreboard, what I mean by that is what I've done in the past and that I think has worked really well for me, but I just got away with it, was having some type of note card or sticky note actually taped to my laptop. And every time, and I would use a timer. I have a little kitchen timer that I set up next to my laptop whenever I'm doing work. And whenever that hour would, after that time would be up, I would just put a little tally mark on that sticky note or on that note card. Right. So you have some type of scoreboard that gives you objective evidence of how hard you did or did not work for that day. Right. And so I think that having something like that is both inspiration and it's also motivation so that I can keep that going on a regular basis. And then hopefully I can tally up those total hours of deep work at the end of the week. I want to make sure that my key indicators are showing me whether I'm putting in the work or not, right? And I think that that's the only thing that I can control, because I can't control, you know, how many clients sign up with me. You know, I can't force people to sign up to work with me, but what I can control is how many deep work hours I put in every single day, and then using a tracking system to go along with that, right? So I think this is something that all of you all can do as well. Another step under business is going to be setting 90-day macro goals and 30-day milestones that will show I'm on track with those macro goals in the 90 days. So this is something that I use sometimes with clients. For example, if they want to, and I've talked about this multiple times, let's say you want to lose 15 pounds in 90 days, well, then a good milestone in 30 days would be you need to be 5 pounds down, right? Because if you want to do 15 pounds over 90 days, 5 pounds in a 30-day period is good evidence that you're on track with your goals. And so for me, I actually don't always love setting goals for my business, and I may end up not doing this after trying it out a few times, because maybe it's being counterproductive with what I'm trying to do. But I think one thing I struggle at is actually giving myself deadlines. And I'm very much more of a creative type, not a type A person. Like, I don't like spreadsheets. I don't like Excel. I don't like tracking a lot of things and metrics and statistics and all that shit. Like, it's just not me, right? But I think that's also a weakness of mine, especially whenever it comes to business and whenever I want certain results to happen. I think it's important to go out of that comfort zone. And so this could be something to relate it back to fitness for you, right? Maybe you are somebody who's always watched what they ate and they took the gym seriously, but they never pushed themselves to that next level by tracking their specific progress, by having these outcome goals and then tracking the milestone goals along the way, right? And so that's exactly what I'm trying to do, except with business. And so with the business action step, so it'll be 5 hours of deep work per day and using the scoreboard, setting 90-day macro goals and 30-day milestones. And then the next one would be scheduling my tomorrow today. And this is something I've talked about in the past as well, but scheduling every minute of my day tomorrow around my highest priority things that I want to get done has just been so crucial. Whenever I do it, I would say 70% of the time. And whenever I don't do it, I instantly feel more anxious and less productive. And typically that's what ends up happening as well. I have less productive days whenever I don't make my schedule the day before. And so for me, that's just literally writing it out on a notebook, using the lines in a notebook, you know, 9, 10, 11, 12, and just time blocking exactly what I'm going to be doing every single minute. And just because I time block it doesn't mean I have to do that exactly, right? The schedule can be flexible. Whenever something comes up, all I do is make a quick edit, and then I can redo the schedule for the rest of the day, and that's totally fine. So that's something that I have to remember as well. So for business, those were my action steps that I really want to do in 2021. For relationships, my action step for this is very simply get my work done on time. So this kind of coincides with the business action step. And that's why you'll notice I was very specific about those business action steps. And I took those, I elaborated on those a little bit more because I need to be very specific with those so that I can nail those in my career aspect, but then that will then allow me to be fully present in my relationship, right? So this goes back to the premise of my whole thing, you know, my little tagline of More Than Fitness, right? The More Than Fitness podcast. It's called the More Than Fitness podcast because there's so many other things that are going to affect your happiness, your well-being, your health, besides how many calories and macros you ate for that day, or if you missed your workout or not, right? If you're stressed out at work, you're going to get a shitty workout. You're going to maybe get shitty sleep, et cetera, et cetera. All these things coincide together. And so for the relationship action step, it's to make sure I get my work done on time every single day, or at least most days, right? I'm not expecting perfection here, but that is the goal. And then as far as friends, it's like, who knows what coronavirus is going to be, but for just simplicity's sake, I put down on here to reach out to friends every 2 weeks. And so if this is in person, that would be ideal, but if not, then maybe some type of FaceTime or something like that. And then lastly, is going to be my fitness action step. And so for me, this is going to be buying or creating a workout plan that I can follow. I'm going to say probably about 4 times a week. That's going to be my sweet spot. I'll probably do 4 lifting days per week. And then if I want to, I will maybe do some walking or some other type of cardio on my off days. And then also using my habit-based tracker that I use with my clients, I'm going to use it myself because, of course, if it's good enough for my clients, it's got to be good enough for me too. So I will be using my own habit-based tracker, going back to somewhat, like I said, with the business goals of 30-day milestones, 90-day goals, and then breaking that down into daily process goals that I want to hit every single day, which I've talked about quite a few times in past episodes. So if you want to learn more about the differences between like outcome goals and daily process goals and what that may look like with whenever it comes to fitness, definitely go back through my older podcasts. But that's how I plan on tackling it. I'm going to have a workout plan and then I'm going to use my habit-based tracker. It's as simple as that. It's just going to come down to me having that initial shift in my mind of, okay, fitness is now a higher priority than what it was previously. If I want to go out to eat, sure, I can maybe get that glass of wine with dinner, but I'm also going to make sure that I have a side salad as well, or I'm going to make my main meal a salad, right? And then I'm going to skip the dessert. And then I'm going to make sure that my last meal of the night is on point too. I'm not just going to say fuck it and then eat whatever I want the rest of the night, or maybe have that one glass of wine turned into 3 glasses of wine, or maybe another bourbon or something like that, right? So that's just one example of how I plan on tackling that. Okay. And that's about it. That's what I got for my 2021 retrospective. I think now the time has come where you guys need to create your own personal retrospective. I want you guys to give you guys this homework, this task, whatever you want to call it, to give yourself some time to think, reflect, and write down everything that go through each one of these questions that I just talked about, and figure out what you want to make your 2021 retrospective to look like. Right? Like I think what I want you guys to do is to reflect on how 2020 went, and then see how you can make 2021 better. I think that this should take you roughly about an hour. And again, you owe it to yourself, both past and future you. So what went well? What could you improve on? And how can you make 2021 as good as you can possibly make it? Again, if you want to see more in depth about my retrospectives, I'll put my 2019 retrospective. That's a tough word after saying it quite a few times. I'll put my 2019 retrospective in the description. You can read through that. And I'll also be typing this one up at some point. Not going to make any promises just yet, but I will be doing it because I want to put it up on my blog. I've written out quite a bit with these notes, so I'll probably just turn it into some type of quick blog post, throw it up on my website, and you guys can read it there so that you don't have to maybe take notes throughout this thing. But yeah, so thank you guys so much for listening. I hope that 2020 for all of you hasn't been too ridiculously terrible. I think if anything, it has made us all quite a bit more resilient, and hopefully 2021 is the year of opportunity and of maybe not wearing masks and shutting down businesses and people dying daily. It's terrible. And that's the note that I'm going to end this on. But hope you guys have a wonderful rest of your day. Thank you guys, as always, for listening. And I'll see you in 2021. Okay, see ya. And that is that, my friends. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of the More Than Fitness Podcast. And please, if you could help me out a little bit here and leave a rate and review in iTunes, and also take a screenshot and post it up on your IG story. Tag me at MattMcLeod6. I'd love to share it. I'd love to connect with you. I'd love to hear your feedback about the podcast, and also so that we can share the word with other people. I would love to build up this community, build up this tribe of people that we have like you and I, and get the word out there. Also, if you want more free content, you can check the links in the description. I have my free 4-week workout plan, The Ultimate Physique Development. And also, if you want to work with me online, one-on-one for personal coaching, you can check the link in the description as well. And anything else you need, please send me an email, send me a DM. I would love to hear from you. Again, thank you so much for listening.